and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, Mike, don't. It'll come to that.
7, 8, 9.
Oh, there's a question for you, Excel boy. If it was day 456, what date would that be?
Why Excel boy?
Because you can whip into Excel and calculate that, can't you?
I can.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be 456 days from the 16th of March 2020. Hello! How is everybody? CQ Deb! Or as we say, Delta Echo Bravo. It's like an episode of Hello, Hello, which is actually on at the moment.
It's from the 16th of March.
Yes, that was the first day. That was day one. When would day 456 be? Not joking, you know, Hello, Hello is actually on. I don't know why. I've got the drama channel on. Oh, I think I was recording an old programme.
15th of June next year.
Oh, not long then. quite possible.
Well, 789. That's 798, I can't tell you. 789, 14th of May 2022.
It could come to that
just
as well.
Just in time for your birthday.
Yep. I can see this happening. Leicester's still in lockdown, but have you noticed they can open the schools? I clearly live on another planet, not the one where our politicians live.
Mm.
Yeah. For which I should be incredibly grateful, because they are all barking mad. Yes, so, back to Hello, Hello. So I actually have Renee on screen with two members of the Resistance and two British airmen dressed as nuns. Do you know that series was so funny? It got me through university. I know they probably would never repeat it these days. Politically incorrect and all of that. But it was fabulous. Just saying, it was absolutely fabulous. We've actually got some Apple news today. And good evening, Simon. I've got something for Kim. When she pitches up. It was a book that I found on UK Amazon, but I've also got it on the American one. Yes, the Apple news is, they didn't so much win their case against the EU, but more the EU lost it based on the actual ruling, which was basically the EU. They didn't rule the EU was wrong, but they did say it didn't prove its case. To the requisite legal standard, which basically means if they'd have done their homework, they would have won. But they didn't. So there you go. Hello, Paul. Which means Apple do not owe the EU. Wasn't it something like 14 billion?
Something like
that. It was an obscene amount of money. I do think, though, with tax, especially at the moment, we've all got to pitch in and pay for stuff. And these companies, wasn't it Amazon last year in the UK? And this is, they said they owed 6 million, which is nothing compared to the revenue. But they weren't even expecting to have to pay that. I wish my tax worked like that, but apparently not. These companies should pay a reasonable amount of tax, I feel, rather than leaving it to the rest of us. But, yeah, that's the situation. So they do not owe money. We'll see how that goes. Somebody will probably appeal. They usually do. Jonathan did EU law. Jonathan would know all about that. But my grief today has been the Omni group. Who uses Omni apps? Any of them? Omni Focus, Omni Outliner, Omni Graffle and Omni Plan. I think this is the first app of theirs that's been released since they went kind of hybrid pricing. And to be perfectly honest, it's just plain confusing. There's no logic to it. You gave them up, they became too expensive. That is pretty much where I'm at now. I swear Omniplan at one point was probably about $35 to $40. Now, luckily, I'm anal. And in my 1Password, I don't just put the serial number. Oh, no. When I buy something, I actually put in the price and I fill in all of the information. So, let's have a look. Omniplan 1. I must have bought it with a load of other stuff. But it was quite expensive back then. Good morning, Paul. But the last one, I got an upgrade on it. So it would have been around the $70-odd mark. But what's even more confusing from the perspective of you'd have to sit down and work it out. They've brought out version 4 of Omniplum. Now, it is a good few years since they brought the last one out. Let's have a look. Version 3 was November 2016. So it's 4 years, fair enough. But in between the last version and this version, they've brought in this hybrid pricing model. Now, a hybrid pricing model is where, and to be honest, we've all asked for it, haven't we? Oh, I don't want to go subscription. Can I not have a perennial license? And that's what they've done. You get to choose. But now it's confusing as to which one you should go for the best value, because it's going subscription and the subscriptions start from $19.99 a month. $19.99 a month. You'd have to have a heck of a lot of plans, wouldn't you? And it also says the new subscription plans aren't just for Omniplan. They're available for the full suite of Omni software. So I'm thinking, so that's like a Creative Cloud subscription, isn't it? But when you think of a Creative Cloud subscription and you think of this, there's only 4 apps included. And to make matters worse, right now, if I wanted Omniplan, and I decided I'd go subscription, and the subscription works out more cost effective to have all 4 apps from the Omni Group, I actually already own the other 3 on all the platforms, and I pay for perennial licenses. So I'd actually be paying for something I've already got. It makes no sense. Hello, Kim. It's a very large cup of coffee. It's more of a bucket, isn't it? It's definitely a bucket.
Good evening, Johnny.
Hello, Jonathan. Do I regularly use Omniplan? Well, that's another point, Paul. I did, and I have used it for course creation. And obviously for something like that, the Gantt chart's really handy. But really handy doesn't equate to $20 a month. If only Notion were to bring out their Gantt chart view. Just saying, Notion. You know, swift kick up the backside. I've taken the decision at the minute just looking at it. It'll have to wait. It'll have to wait because you'd have to sit down and work out at what point. In fact, if you looked at the pricing model, the story about it is there. So that's that one. All right, let's have a look. Now, where's the other one? I did have another one with the pricing on it, which has totally disappeared. It'll be there somewhere. I've just got far too many windows open right now. I actually went to Omni and looked at it, and it was quite bizarre what I found in the pricing bit. Oh, good grief, they've gone all dark. They've got a new website. Just show me the products for crying out loud. Right, Omniplan. I don't want that. I want the buy bit. Where's the buy bit? They're not even making it easy to buy anymore. Right, store. Got it. Right, if you click on Omniplan, it actually says, subscriptions give you the latest version of the app, enabling every feature on every platform, including pro features, with a lower cost up front and predictable spending in the future. But when you click on the traditional licensing model, it says traditional licenses are investments which may cost more up front, but save money in the long run. But the pro version is $400. And I paid $75 last time. Now, then it got even more confusing. You'll love this. It says register your license to receive discounts. So there isn't an upgrade price. So I can't tell you how much the upgrade price would be. But I thought, well, I bought the licenses through them. So where do I do that business? So I clicked on the link to register your licenses. And it took me to the Omni Store and wanted my Omni Store account. And I thought, I'm not at all sure I've got one. So I looked in 1Password, you know, click the 1Password button on that page. And it did not show me anything related to the OmniStore. So I thought, I didn't think I had. So I used the reset password thing just to make sure before I created an account. Turns out I did have an account. It's the OmniSync account. It's one account fits all. I didn't create that with a view to managing licenses. I created it just to sync OmniFocus. That was it. But it's that license. It's that account if you've got one. So I thought, right, fine, let's have a look at the licenses then. Because clearly I have one Omni account for everything, and that's the one I've always bought everything on, and that's the one that's got the email registered to it. So I clicked on Omni Plan, see, right, what license have I got? You've not got anything registered. You've got to register them manually. Like I've not got anything else to do? Unbelievable. So to say it can wait... That's an understatement. Now, Kim's in, and I promised a gift when Kim arrived. Saw this book, Kim. The first link is the US one. Obviously, I use the UK link. But I saw this book and thought of you. It's a thriller, so I'm thinking, was it Marathon Man that had a dentist in it? Dentists get a bad rap. And there's the UK link if you're in the UK. But it is totally free, so look on the bright side. So who else uses the Omni apps? Because while I can say it's OmniPlan, I'll leave it, I do actually use OmniGraffle and I do use OmniOutliner. But
I once used OmniWeb. Well, that's probably died years ago.
It's still there, but it's a hobby. It's a hobby. It's not a paid for thing. It's a hobby. I did use OmniGraph. Oh, that was a good one. It was on the iPad and it was absolutely fabulous. I think there's a Mac version as well. But they binned that one. It was for drawing charts that Excel would struggle with. You know, Excel, you could probably do it, but it'd take 3 weeks. With this one, you just kind of drew it and it was great. But they binned that. So there's four apps. And I'm thinking, you know, when OmniGraffle and OmniOutliner go the same way, what's the decision going to be then? I think Mike should do as a spreadsheet, don't you? OmniWeb had some features that all of the others didn't. And it, as I say, it's still going. You can use it. But you look at it now and it is in hobby mode, isn't it? The interface is dreadfully dated. And there are better browsers about. Vivaldi. Considering I thought, Vivaldi, that's probably the one I'll use least. That's the one I'll put Notion in. It's fabulous. It really is. I mean, I still have Firefox as my primary, but really only because I use Vivaldi now to such a degree. I've got like a whole range of pinned tabs open. I know where everything is. And I've got that sidebar. So right now, I'm looking at the page in Notion for Marooned Day 123. And I've got the sidebar open so I can see all of the chat. It is a great browser. But I say with browsers, the more the merrier. At least it keeps them chasing each other's tail in terms of features. For instance, I use Chrome for one job, which is accessing YouTube. It's infuriating that I can't find a plugin that works just to stop autoplay. There used to be a feature inside Chrome that you could access with the secret flags, but it's gone. So there is now no built-in option to stop a video playing when you click on a tab. And I have like maybe 7 tabs open with videos in. I don't want every time I click on it, start automatically playing. There are plugins that will do it, but they are a bit on the tricky side. They either don't work with YouTube or you've got to go in and really hack the life out of them. So I installed a couple, had a go with them. They weren't really working consistently. So I just uninstalled them and left it where it's auto-playing. Of course you can ask a question. You can't remember how I did things when setting things up. Yeah, that's Notion. You go back and think, this looks interesting. I wonder what I was thinking. Yeah, you go for your life, Kim. Put it in. OmniGraffle and OmniFocus. Do you still use both, Paul? OmniGraffle for me, yes, because there are very few diagramming apps that are... what's the word? As fully featured as that. There's probably really only Visio. And while I would love to use Visio, I've just discussed that with Mike and it's like, no. We've got one license which would have to be in a VM and I'd have to get, you know, I'd have to crank up the VM every time I wanted to use it. And, of course, there would be no corresponding iOS app. OmniFocus, I'm wondering if I could live without. I do use it, particularly on the watch. It's really handy on the watch. That's probably about the best bit of it, to be honest.
Do you want to go and play football?
Don't get Daddy's clean shirt dirty. She's already been out once today. She's such a diva with it. Right, Omni Disc Sweeper. Wow, I remember that one. I did use that, yeah. On the projects page, I'm trying to pull in the project notes below the fold, and I can't remember how I did that. Where are you trying to pull them? Trying to pull in the project notes below the fold. Do you mean the notes from the notes table, like our notes system? That are linked to the project. Are they linked to the project? Let me have a look at my notes table. I didn't link my notes to a project. But I could do. I haven't done, but I could do. Is that what you want? Right. What you need to do... let's think about it. Are you looking at the project page for one specific project? Let's take a look at that. What have I got in mind? Project. Oh, so many available. Or not started. Let's try one that is actually something done, maybe. Right, into one project. Okay, let's do the Walker's Warblings. Right, all you need to do in the below the fold is type a forward slash and then the word linked. And that will enable you to choose your notes database. So once you've typed forward slash linked, it'll say create link database. And from there, you will choose the database that has got the notes in or the content you are attempting to link. And then that will put in a table. The one I'm looking at is my project, which is an ongoing project, for the Walker's Warblings, which is that show on Brooklands. And below the fold, I've linked it to the shows table and then filtered it for the Walker's Warblings. You were typing at. No, typing at gives you a link. So what that would do is it would give you a link to the original table. But what you actually want to do is pull them through. So it's a link table, forward slash link, choose the table and then build whatever views you want on it. If you want that somewhere else, so let's say you're on project one and you've built this table underneath and you think that's perfect. And maybe you've put five views on it and you would like the same five views, but with a different filter for the second project. The fastest way to do it is not to repeat what you've just done, because if you do, when you make a linked table, it creates the link table, but it has no views. It does not pull views in from other link tables, nor does it bring through any views that you have on the underlying core table. So the way to do it is to go to project one, duplicate the linked table, and then click on the burger thing on the left of it and select move and move it to project two. Then change the filters. So the second bit of the filter, if you're with me, would be the same on project one, project two, project three. But the difference would be the first step of the filter would filter it for project one, project two or project three. That's the fastest way to do it. Hello, Neil. I've been talking about that, Neil, for ages. It did used to be two, possibly three computers. And when I went in to actually seriously think, you know, let's do an analysis here. Could this be cheaper? I saw that it was one. And I asked Jonathan, and Jonathan said he thought it was two or three. Clearly, it's because they're extending into the iOS area. But I can understand people not happy. Not happy at all. So if you've already on it, you probably grandfathered onto the original however many computers. But we've actually just discussed, Neil, the problems with the Omni Group and the way that they've gone to subscription-based. And I actually said with setup, I would much rather pay £15 a month, which we do for Spotify, but we have six people that we can add to it. Now, there's only two of us using it. Short of giving the dog an account, what we're supposed to do. But, you know, it's for two adults and four children for £15 a month. That's actually a really good deal. I think they're being very stingy, and I think that's short-sighted, because we tend to have a desk-bound computer and maybe a mobile and an iPad and a phone. So I don't think six would be outrageous, but that's just me. Kim, to get back to what we were talking about, another way to do it, which may be better. So I'm looking at my projects. I can show you this in and after hours because I know you're more visual, aren't you? But just to whip through it, I'm looking at my projects table. And if I'd added in a gazillion projects, which I had. So I have in my projects table a project for every episode of Marooned at Mattbite's headquarters. Because there's quite a few tasks to do in terms of, you know, you've got to get it ready and make sure all the artwork's there, etc. And then once it's finished, you've got to edit it and publish it as a show. So I have in my projects table 127. Oh, Jonathan, you didn't mention that. 127. Yesterday's email. Because we'd mentioned 127 and you instantly thought MacBites and I realigned your expectations, just saying. Right, so there's lots and lots of Marooned at MacBites headquarters and they are pretty similar in terms of what I would have below the fold. So you could create a template. So let's say you've got these, say 10 projects and 8 of them are very specific projects for a certain thing and they're all the same. So for me, that would be 10 episodes of Marooned. If you make a template that has got the table in it that links to the notes, you can retrospectively apply the template to the project as long as the project doesn't have anything below the fold. If it does, because you've been working and you've got kind of random notes below the fold, copy them and put them somewhere else for safekeeping, just a page, a random page somewhere. Then delete them from that project and then apply the template and then copy your stuff back to below the bit you've just created. And that saves you doing the duplicate and move a million times. But I can show you that if you like. You were disappointed. Oh, Jonathan, you know I like to play with your mind. And anyway, when you least expect it, just saying. If you try and swap machines, you lose access to one. Oh, not that one. That's the Evernote manoeuvre. You would love to see it. Right, post-it notes are coming out, Kim. What shall we call that? Projects below the fold or project notes and templates. There we go. I'll see if we can squeeze it in this week. But I'm already squeezing quite a bit in. We'll have a look. I'm actually thinking. I've just blown Mike's mind, actually. Poor Mike. He came in and I went, I've had an idea. And he went, oh. I'm actually thinking of rejigging our resources area. Well, actually, to be truthful, it's my resources area. Most of this isn't shared, which is one of the issues. You know, it wasn't shared. So I'm contemplating a big rebuild. Neil's looking forward to tomorrow. That's good to hear. Okay, Kim. We've got Devon Think next week as well, haven't we? But there's probably a slot next week if there isn't one this week. I'd be interested to see, guys, what happens with this setup thing. So do keep me updated. Mike was contemplating it, seriously. He doesn't have all of the apps that I have. Some of them we've got are like family licenses, but there's some apps that, you know, I bought and they don't have a family license, or he didn't think he'd need it at the time. So he was seriously looking at it. I just thought that had been going on for a while, but maybe they've only just mentioned it. Kicking off over setup.
Oh.
Two became one, which isn't good. Not with licenses, it's not. No, I better not do that. Mike might start singing. Spice Girls?
Yes, I was just thinking.
No, leave it there, Mike. Don't do it. I don't know why that family license that they offer. I don't know why that has to be separate people. It just makes managing licenses difficult. It's just like the Omni Group. I mean, they might say they're providing it as an option, but all told, if you pay a subscription, you'll probably pay more. But it's easier to manage in the way that Jonathan said when he set up his new computer, it was just boom, boom, boom. And it was all installed from the setup store. If you've got licenses to manage and then you've got different licenses across different platforms, and then, like we said, you've got to have it installed before you can install the new one and all of that, then part of the fact the subscription would actually cost you more, you've got to offset that about managing it. Why does everything have to be so complicated? Point one. And why does the price have to quadruple? Point two. But that's the way it is, I guess. That's exactly what I would like, Paul. I don't particularly have an issue, because I do think setup. You go to the App Store and there's so much garbage that's been there since the year dot not updated, which when they started, an app had to be updated every 6 months or it wasn't featured. But now there's just so much rubbish in there. The reviews for some of them are absolutely shocking. Whereas setup makes it, you know, it's highly curated. There isn't much in the way of rubbish in there. The only thing I don't understand, you know, is like the fact that there's 5 mind map apps. You think like, yeah, that's why there's so many. They're doing the same job. But I would need the option, like, for one computer, $5 a month is more than enough. Why not have it in groups of, you know, like $5 a month per device? And that way you could have 2 computers and an iPad for 15. I mean, obviously it'd be better to have 6 for 15, but, you know, but to make it, even Apple say in their guidelines, if you're going to a subscription model, do not take away features. Provide, leave people who've got it where they are and provide something extra in the subscription. Or people feel ripped off. So no matter how good it is or whatever, it's a nasty taste it leaves. And that sounds like where they're at. I don't think 2 computers and 2 iOS devices is unreasonable. I think that's a desktop, a laptop, a phone and a tablet. There is nothing wrong with 4 devices. If they wanted to limit them, you know, to a certain type of device, but, you know, there's no need for that, really. Some people might have 2 desktops and one might be much smaller than the other. It could be a mini that's attached to a screen or whatever. Why should the people with the software determine what devices you can actually put it on? It could be an accessibility thing. It could be that you need, you know, that you're in a wheelchair and you are using a Mac during the day, but then, you know, for relaxation, etc., you've got a mini attached to somewhere else, and that you can't physically use a laptop. So why not just leave people to manage their own toys? It's too controlling for my liking. Don't like it. Or up to 5 apps for a certain cost and then... exactly. That would work well as well. But the fact they limit it to a machine does freak me out. The only one I've ever seen that actually works really well in terms of activating and deactivating is Office. Because if your machine goes bye-bye, you can go into the back end and just take it, you know, deactivate a machine remotely. There's nothing on the actual machine that keeps it activated, if you're with me. Or if, I guess there is, because you can use it without an internet connection. But every now and then, it does need to ping to make sure it's still alive. Otherwise, you could just install it and then take it off the internet. But in the back end, to install it on machine number 6, you just deactivate one of them. And it works. First time, every time. If they can build that, because Microsoft didn't have the best rep, did they? Then why can't other companies build that? Especially if their entire business model is based on number of installs and stuff. Creative Cloud is not bad, but it's not far behind Office, but Office is the best one. You can instantly see which computer you're talking about, and plus the fact they let you have 5. And I know there's a thing with the iPads, which I always did find a bit weird. But, you know, each to their own. But then Apple scuppered that. Microsoft had this rule, the 10-inch rule, that if your tablet the screen of it was less than 10 inches. You could just install it. You don't need a license for it. Which was great when an iPad was 9.7 inches. But when it became 10.2 inches, that had a huge knock-on effect that they did not care about, which was, you know, then it's over 10 inches and then you need a license to activate it. Having said that, you know, if you do have, like I do, a white 12.9, a black 12.9, a black 10.2 and an iPad Pro 11 inch, you know, you've got lots of devices. They do say, do you want to activate it? You activate it, you move on to another device. It says, do you want to activate this one? And when you do, the other one becomes deactivated automatically. So it's not that invasive. Sometimes when it says, do you want to activate? It doesn't even need your password. What it's saying is, you've already got this on five devices. Shall we deactivate one? You say yes, but it actually needn't deactivate it to the point that it has no idea you were ever logged in. What it does is it just activates the one you're working with. When you go back to the other one, it'll say, do you want to activate it? You say yes. You just tap yes. If you were logged in 10 minutes ago, it doesn't ask you for your password again. It just activates that one, deactivates the other one. This is what I'm saying. If Microsoft can do it, I mean, Microsoft, you know what we all thought of them about 5 years ago, but they've done that right. They've done that right. You'll bet most customers only use one license, so they've decided to boost profits from the customers like you. I must
not according to this thread. Which
go on.
I found,
what have you got?
The one that Neil mentioned on the Facebook group. They're all complaining that they've got two devices at least, and a lot are saying they won't renew.
Well, I appreciate what they're offering, and like I've said, it's high quality software, it's curated, it's good apps, it's the apps that I use, so let's forget the fact that I already own them, right? And let's go back to the fact of, what are the apps? Are the apps good? And they are. My initial beef with them was, when it came out, aren't they the people that make, are they Shiny Frog? Who are the people behind it?
Setup.
Yeah. They actually are a software company.
MacPaw.
Right, now what did they make? Because I'm not sure. I must have had one of their apps. Is the crux of this matter. For
Clean
the
My Mac. Clean My Mac.
No, wasn't that one. I never had that. Did they make something else? Anybody know what they made?
The Unarchiver.
Ah, the Unarchiver. So I will have had the Unarchiver. And when they created the concept of setup, they mailed me and they said, look what we're doing. Isn't this fabulous? And it said, for more information, click here. So I clicked and I read up on the information. And it then said, you know, take out a trial. And I thought, I'm not taking a trial. I don't want a trial. Right. If I was going to do it, I would not have taken the trial at that point. About, and it was a 7-day trial as well, which, you know, 7 days, really? 14 or 30 would be way better. But 7 days later, I got a mail that said, your trial's up. And I said, what trial? I never clicked the button for the trial. So basically what they'd chosen to do was put some text in the email that said, read more. And when you clicked that, they started your trial. I didn't download anything. I didn't download the wrapper, you know, the store, nor did I install anything because I didn't know I'd activated a trial. I clicked a button that said, read more. And I thought that was sharp practice. If I hadn't have been so busy, I would have probably sent them a snotogram. But I thought, I can't do business with a company like that. Then down the line, they got more and more apps in there, and they were the apps that I was using. So obviously at that point, you're like, well, this might work out cheaper. But I still had a lot of the apps. But now they've done this, in a way, I'm not surprised, because I felt at the beginning it was a bit sharp practice to activate me a trial when I didn't do a thing. All I did was click the tell me more. And I thought, that is seriously bad news. I didn't even, like, request anything to do with setup. They had my email address because I used the OnArchiver. And they sent me a mail based on that, which they're not a company I can particularly do business with. So I can imagine that this is kicking off, and I can imagine why. I wish Microsoft would do a Mac version of Visio, but I just cannot see it anytime soon. And yet I don't know why. In fact, if they didn't do a Mac version, what they could do is an online version and include it. Because as I just said to Mike earlier, when we were talking about Visio, and we were talking about it because of OmniGraffle and because of the pricing debacle, and I actually said to Mike, I wouldn't, the subscription used to be called Office 365, and fair enough, Project wasn't in it and Visio wasn't in it. But now it's called Microsoft 365. Why not? Why not include it? And I said I'd even pay more if it could be like a pro version. So Microsoft 365 Pro, and it had those two apps in extra. I would give them a little bit more money for that, because they've already gained my trust with what they've offered, and the fact that instead of putting the price sky high, the price has actually gone down. Mike's heading to his meeting. See you later. Probably have the dog in there with him next. I would actually pay a little bit more just to have access to that. Well, maybe an online version would work somehow. Doesn't seem to be coming anytime soon, though, does it? It's a bit like DevonThink. A perfectly mobile version of DevonThink is what I'm after now. Haven't got that either. Mike has been up at stupid o'clock every day this week. In fact, so much has he been up at stupid o'clock, we've passed each other on the landing as I head to bed. At 5 to 5. Mike's getting up at 5 in the morning and I'm heading to bed. Tell you what, this is the first time I've actually made the decision. Usually, I just work till I'm really, really tired and then I'll go to bed. But I've always got one eye on the fact of, you know, I've got to get up in the morning so I don't make it that late. But at the moment, being in lockdown, although, you know, you might have to talk to clients and stuff, they'll have to wait till 4 o'clock. It's as simple as that. You can pretty much, because what was happening before lockdown was on a Wednesday, we'd be going somewhere. On a Monday, we'd have a quiz we needed to go to. On a Saturday, we'd have a Catenian event. Or Friday, we'd have a Catenian event or a concert. I couldn't really flip my working time to be night, you know, basically to work nights. But now I can, because we're not going anywhere. I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. So I get to bed about 5-ish, although to be honest, I could probably work till 6 quite easily. Might try that. And then I get up about 12-ish, so about 7 hours sleep. And I'm on fire productivity-wise. I think, isn't it your biorhythms? Something like that. Some people are night owls. I'm a night owl. I can't be doing with it during the day. It drives me insane. It just does. So I'm much happier working nights. Let's see how long that lasts. Oh, I did hear, because Kim asked, so I will fill you in. I'm doing the newsletter for the church, where I'm not actually doing it. I get the draft copy to proofread, make sure she's not put anything stupid in it, like the time she did, which was, I think it was in... we've got three little bits that are like responses, and it was in one of these responses, and she'd put something, I think it was ghost instead of God or something like that, but it would have been bad news. It would have been really bad news. So I caught that one. Do you know, Kim, we probably do. We probably do. So I got the newsletter, and after having heard last week, there were a reasonable number of people there. They were all in masks. They were being guided to the seating by the, I nearly said guards. What did I mean? Stewards, that's the word. Right, guards. Because the thing is, they're going to guide you to seats that you wouldn't normally sit in, and then it's not, no. Mike and I have seats next to each other at Old Trafford, literally next to each other. So if I was to sit in his seat and he sit in mine, the difference would be about 12 inches. You get a totally different view. Not joking. A totally different view. So obviously at church, you know, we sit on the left-hand side, just over halfway up, on the same row as Nina, Rach and Chidge. What if they guided Nina, Rach and Chidge to another pew and us somewhere else? We're family dudes. So, yeah, anyway, in the newsletter, he said that the two masses were almost at capacity and they're at the point of turning people away. So as I said to Mike, not much point in bothering then. I'm not getting up at 7 o'clock doing the breakfast thing, the tea thing, the hair thing, the face thing, getting up there to be turned back. Not if I've worked till 5 in the morning, I'm not. So no, not happening. But let's see how that goes. I think it's a bit silly to tell people that you are almost at capacity, because next week, like 90% will think, oh, I won't bother then. They'll take the logical approach like the rest of us. But still no news about whether they're taking Eucharist or not. So I need more information on that. I've got my ear to the ground just in case. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? So have we got any more information about setup, or is it just kicking off? Shall I have a look at that later? Is it in their own forums, or is it on like a site? I didn't even know if they had a forum. Have they got a, they've got a blog. So have they actually come clean on the blog and said that that's what's happening? Because I thought that was happening for weeks. No, I'm not seeing that. Their blog seems to be like more article-based stuff. How to convert YouTube videos to MP3s. Yeah, it's more stuff that they've kind of had written for them. Wow, they've had some views, haven't they? 486.6 thousand views on that. It's just one of the apps, isn't it? So basically it's an article that's promoting one of their apps. That one does actually look pretty decent. No, walk away from it now, woman, walk away. Or is it just on the pricing page? Is Mass still on video? Yes, it is. That's actually quite surprising. I'm getting the video about 4 o'clock on a Saturday, which means he's actually doing a dedicated Mass to be recorded, because now the church is open, there is a Mass on Saturday at 5 o'clock. And I don't know why he just doesn't do it the once and get the deacon to record it. Unless they are actually going up for Eucharist and the deacon's needed for the service. So at the moment, he's doing two services on a Saturday, one for the video and one live. And in the newsletter, he said that's going to carry on at the moment. So I have actually seen Mass, albeit at two times. A lot of people have said that they're quite used to doing it on demand now. And going back would be a bit of... Kath said exactly the same. Kath, actually, there's Kath, Joe and Carolyn. Kath and Joe are mum and dad, and then daughter's Carolyn. And they together, they all have the most amazing voices. If you've been to Brooklands, you know all of the jingles Kaz did. Literally just sat there in her PJs doing jingles. She's got a fabulous voice, they all have. So they do the music at the other church. So they don't come to our church. They go to the other church our priest has got too. And they've done the music there for ages and ages. They've got like a balcony area, which would be like behind the organ, only I don't think there is an organ at that church. And they do the music week in, week out. But in the summer, they don't have music. So in August, there's no music, and it's because people are on holiday and stuff. So they obviously haven't been to church because it's been closed, and now it's open, they're not quite ready to go back. And plus the fact, there's no singing allowed, even though the choir is actually up in the rafters. There's no singing allowed. So she said she wasn't in particularly in a rush to go back because she can't sing, and that's where they sit. But then she posted to me, and she made a brilliant point, which was, she said, I've been thinking about it. And this was about a week ago. She said, we take August off anyway. You know, the choir doesn't work August. She said, so to be honest, not much point in going back yet, really, is I'll think about it in September. She's already planning another 2.5 months off. Oh, priest's going to be there on his own at this rate, seriously. Oh.
Yours is still on video. He does it on YouTube. I wish ours would do it live, but no, there's no way he will do it live. It was like pulling teeth, getting him to do a video full stop. He did not want to. Absolutely did not want to. And I couldn't fathom it because he is not in the slightest bit reticent. He is a big, bold, brash, outgoing Irishman. Trust me. And when he said, like, don't want to do a video, I'm like, why ever not? Why not? And he doesn't want to do audio either. Because years ago, when I set the website up, which would have been over 5 years ago now, I said, how about you do some audio podcasts? Didn't want to do audio either. So obviously there was nothing in place when this all kicked off, which there would have been if he'd listened to me 5 years ago, which was what I told him. That didn't go down well. I don't know why. But, you know, it's easier to extend something that's there than think, oh, right, we've got nothing here. We've got no procedures. We've got no testing of the video. We've got no testing of the audio. We're just going to have to go with what we've got. I mean, the video quality is not brilliant. The video I get is, I think the size is 640 by 320, 300, 480, something like that. It's tiny. But to get it on YouTube and to get it to play on people's TVs, I need to make that 16:9. Now, I can make it 16:9 because it's been recorded from so far back, believe you me. The priest's a dot on the landscape. So I can actually crop out part of that. But the thing is, you know, quality-wise, it's shocking. But I guess if people aren't used to watching 4K, then it makes no difference. But the audio, it's a huge, cavernous church. And he's tried it with the speakers on, and he's tried it with the speakers off. And I just said to him, just put your phone on the altar and use that for the audio. But the problem with that then is he can't get it, the audio, off the phone easily and get it sent to me. I'm getting the video easily because I've set up a Dropbox drop point, a file request on Dropbox, and we just use the same one every week, and the deacon just presses a button and up it goes. So that's working fine, but the deacon wouldn't have the audio. The audio would be on another device. So we've ended up that he's had to move forward with the audio. But what I'm saying is, if this had been thought through 5 years ago, you wouldn't be trying to do it now from 1 mile up the road. You'd actually have been in there and you'd actually have manually configured it all and put all those things in place. But he didn't want to know. He's very shy. Don't believe it. You were wondering who did the jingles. That was Kaz. There's Kaz and Lisa, they're sisters. Lisa lives down south. Actually, as we discovered, Kim, in America, on a military base, which is American soil. But she's moving. So she'll be moving soon. And both of them sing. She was actually, Lisa, when we went to Alverston, we did a show on the Sunday. It was a Brooklyn show, and it was basically going live from Alverston. So people who couldn't go, and the type of people who couldn't go, if you work and you don't particularly want to take a day's holiday for the Monday, they only do 3 day breaks. So we had one couple who went home on the Sunday. But I think everybody else who couldn't do 3 days didn't bother going. So we did this live show. And the night before, which was the Saturday, after the entertainment, we'd gone to bed. But the others, some of the others had gone into this like lounge bar, and there was a bit of singing and dancing. So the in-house singer was like holding the microphone in front of people and getting them to sing like a really well-known line. So if it was like, you know, do you really want to hurt me? She put the microphone in front of somebody and then they sang it. I don't know which the song was, but she put the microphone in front of Lisa, and Lisa's a professional singer, and she was fabulous. And the singer went, wow. When she'd finished that, she said to Lisa, do you want to do a song? And Lisa said, yeah, sure. So she went up and she did Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. It was fabulous. So we played it at the end of this live from Alverston. So when it came to the radio show, we were like, oh, we could do with a jingle. Kaz stepped into the breach and she's just sat there with her phone recording jingle after jingle. And we got a quiz one from Lisa as well, 1 week she was in. Oh, it was fantastic. We took all the gear with us to Alverston. because the year before, we didn't have the radio station the year before. The year before, Stuart and Ellen were in charge. You'll know them from the chat if you're with us. But they got great rooms, fantastic rooms. So we went there and I said, let's take all the gear and we'll record a MacBytes. And we did. So we did take a lot of gear the year before, but obviously this year it was our year. Mike was president. I was lady president. And we got this huge suite. So there's one room given to you that's like, you don't pay any extra for it, but it's huge. It had like four rooms. It was like a flat. So I said we'd have plenty of room. We could take all the kit. So we decided we would take the kit. But I said, subject to the internet being okay, either using their internet or using 4G, which wasn't the best idea I'd ever had. It's in the middle of the field. But luckily their internet was actually okay. I said we could probably do a live show. We decided when we got there, tested all the internet out and something, and said, yeah, we can do this live show straight to Brooklands. So we set the entire room up as a studio. We had this tiny little round table. I mean, there was a bigger table, but we needed it to be like at the front of the room. So we had this tiny little round table with my laptop on it, microphone for Mike, microphone for me, and then two room mics, which we put on a table in the middle. But because it was a suite, we already had like a huge sofa, like a range of seating, and then we dragged in the patio furniture. So we then said to everybody, if you want to come along and watch the recording of this live show, come along. But there were so many people, we could actually just say, right, let's just open up the room and let's all have a chat. And the couple who had gone home by that time, they went after breakfast, they'd actually got home. And they tuned into the station and rang in. And they'd recorded a piece before they left as well. It was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. And then I think we played it a day later as well, so Lisa could hear it. Because she was actually in the room at the time. So we put it on again a day later. Fantastic. Oh, I loved it. Right, let's catch up. Does the choir hum then? The choir at the moment, I don't think we're allowed a choir, full stop. I know why. It's how far the breath goes, isn't it? Whereas, if you're shouting or you're singing, then you're not, basically. They're stopping you doing it. I don't know when that will come back. And because I've not been, I don't know. But logic would say to me, he'll probably put some music on, which he usually does on a Wednesday night. There's a Wednesday night mass as well. That's much shorter. So you can be in and out if he doesn't play any music in 20 minutes. But to make it a little bit longer, he could well put some music on it. But the danger with that is that people start singing to it. So it'd have to be like something that doesn't have words. Isn't it difficult? I don't know whether we're going to be any better off by September. Really don't know where we're going to be at. Oh, yours does everything in his house. Another family does all the music. That would work brilliantly, wouldn't it? I mean, the Moors could do the music. That's Kath and Joe. Because they're in their own bubble. It's the three of them. The choir at All Saints wouldn't be in the same bubble together. But because they're a family, that would work fantastically. So he could have that. He could do the mass. They could do the music. It would be brilliant. But because it wasn't in place to start with, I think for a technical muggle, just the thought of it is too much. And I agree. I do agree. It probably would be. I mean, for instance, there was one mass. This was hysterical. We'd been doing it about 4 weeks. I think it was Easter. It was one of the Easter masses. Now, Easter, I had to do a mass on the Thursday, Friday and Saturday. There was the Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So there was 4 days and every day there was a mass to be done. And it was one of those masses because it had a candle lit on it. And I got a message with the video. And to spare his blushes, I won't go into much detail. But basically, there was a question that came with the video, which was, there's a bit at the end that we'd rather not use. Can you take it off? And I thought, what are you on about? So I looked at the video and I thought, oh dear, yes, we wouldn't want that being published, would we? So I went back and said, yes, I can edit that. That's no problem. And then I put on it you know, P.S., if you need any changes in the middle of it, that's fine too. He had no idea that I could edit it at all. So he must have thought what I was doing was getting the video and I was topping and tailing it in terms of putting titles at the beginning and credits at the end, and that that was it. But actually, I already edit it, because the deacon's pressed record way before the priest appears. So I obviously take off the beginning bit because it's silent until I can see the shadow of him walking in, and then that's the in point. And if there's a bit at the end that's a bit long, then I will take that off. But they obviously had no clue that I can edit it. I mean, the things I've done with video in terms of editing, amazing. So it was so funny. There was this bit at the end that, let's say, the bishop didn't need to be made aware of. So I cut it off. But I did go back and say, you know, if there's ever an issue in the middle, don't start again. just put something on the timeline like a clap so I can see it, and I'll deal with it. You know, he had no idea. And I think when you're at that level, you're not particularly going to be comfortable with the concept of like a mashup. And where's the choir? They're at home, but it's fine. Just keep going. I'll edit it in post. No, he would have no concept of that. What he does do during the Mass is the deacon, as well as recording it, plays some music. They have a ghetto blaster, seriously. It isn't even hooked up to the sound system. It's just like a 1985 ghetto blaster that's on a pew. And the comical thing is, when you get the video, you look at the audio timeline and you can tell the music bits, because the ghetto blaster's next to the deacon who's holding the camera, and the priest is like a good 15 yards away. So his bits are relatively quiet, and then you blast it out with the music. So the first thing I need to do is levelate it to the point that, you know, he is at least as in the ballpark as the music is. Otherwise, you're going to get deafened. But yeah, I wish actually, you know, he had have been more open to it before all of this started. One thing that they were approached by a company. This company's based in Ireland and they do a lot of church things. They will put in live streaming capabilities into your church, but the price was astronomical. The installation and the first year of service was anywhere, depending on the quality and number of cameras you went for, between £5,000 to £8,000. And then every year after that, you would need to pay for the service, which is, you know, the streaming that you would use. So obviously it was very expensive. It is when you've got 193,000 to find for the roof. So obviously 5-6 years ago, he decided not to go that way. But if he had have done, everything would have been a lot easier now. But that's where we're at. The vision of the priest holding onto his shoulder. It's comical to see them, it is. He's got a lot better. Last week, he actually smiled. So I thought he's getting into this because he actually smiled. He's a scream. He really is an absolute scream. I don't know why he's so reticent, because I think he could really, really carry it off. Some priests can, like, you know, just do a service and they get through the service. But he really does have the persona to be fantastic on video. But he isn't comfortable. And you know, like, if you're not comfortable, then you can tell. But maybe you'll get there. Who knows? They obviously rely on the fact people don't know how affordable it is to do these things. You're not kidding, Anthony. I mean, that's ludicrous. It is basically a webcam. It's a single fixed camera that gives you a view. I mean, obviously, it's slightly different for each church, but the camera's usually placed at the back. Now, the problem with ours is it's very old school. It's very big. It is a very big church. By comparison to the other one in our two parishes, that's kind of wider but shorter front to back. So that video would work better. I don't think with ours you could particularly put the camera at the back unless you had a heck of a zoom on it. And then, of course, you've got to think about the audio as well. Now, he is actually mic'd up. So every Sunday he comes out and he's got more than one microphone. He's got a lavalier microphone that is underneath his vestments, and that goes to a controller that's in his pocket. So he can actually turn that one on and off. We also have another microphone, which is a handheld. And the choir have that for solos. And then when he comes down to do his homily, because when he does the homily, he doesn't stay on the altar. He actually comes down into the aisle, very close to the front two pews. Probably not doing that at the moment, but that's what he used to do. And he will actually, you know, somebody from the choir will wander over and hand him the handheld microphone. So he, it's not that he's not savvy using a microphone. He is. I really don't know. I guess you could hook into that, but there's no need for it to cost that much. Absolutely not. Given where we are and, you know, what the church actually looks like, a couple of webcams just going down a relay cable would be more than enough, and it wouldn't cost much at all. But this is a business, and that's what they do. They provide, you know, I think it's called churchservices.something. And one of the benefits that they try and sell is the fact that your church will be hosted on their, you know, you'll stream via their, you can stream on your own website if you've got one, but you can also stream via theirs. So when all of this COVID thing took off, people were going to this site and they were just like randomly picking a church that they sound like the look of. Kath, for instance, got married in a church in the Lake District and they do remote services, and she goes to that one because it's live. Is it called Church Services? I don't know what the dot would be. Church Services. .tv, that makes total sense, doesn't it, woman? Yeah, that's the one. That's got the Pope and all sorts on it. That's the one that approached him with a view to doing it. But back then, it was heckishly expensive. So I think they're an Irish company. Let's have a look about... they've got a UK number. No, County Wicklow. County Wicklow in Ireland. So they obviously have local installers, but if you look at the individual pictures there, you get an idea for the kind of thing that they can do. But it was heckishly expensive. I'm wondering if there's much on the price up there. It doesn't particularly mention that, does it? Basically, it's a ring them and they'll talk to you. But obviously, I think the idea is that you make your money back by videoing weddings and things and charging for it. But that's a bit dicey. It's a bit dicey because although people book churches for funerals and christenings and weddings, there isn't actually an official price. The idea is that you pay what you can afford. So when Mum died, that was the church that we used. So on the bill from the undertakers, there's this bit and it says, like, you know, donation to the church. And it is a donation. And it's the same for weddings. So people often send emails and say, how much is it, you know, to hire the church for a wedding or do a wedding in the church? There isn't actually a fixed fee. The idea is pay what you think it's worth. Which, you know, most people don't just put £5 in. But to actually sell a video would be probably considered to be in poor taste. So although technically you could do it, it would be a bit dicey. Because that would have fixed cost associated with it and you'd have to have a minimum price probably. Although at the moment, I think there would be another market, which would be live streaming funerals. Mike did a funeral very early on in lockdown. It was a very close friend of his mum's and she was at the, it was a Zoom funeral. She was there and he was there, you know, and now obviously he had the capability to take screenshots and to record it if he wanted to, in case she missed bits. But it was very, very, very well done. Very well done. But I guess that just depends on how comfortable your celebrant is. That celebrant was fantastic. What surprised me with that was not only was he comfortable on camera, which is difficult for people if they're not used to being on camera. And as far as I know, I don't think he was. But he was actually doing a lot of the camera work. He actually had the prayer book in one hand and the camera in the other. And he was doing both. And to add insult to injury, it was in Hebrew. So absolutely amazing what he did. Absolutely amazing. A small mixer to take the feed from the priest, the choir, the organist, and it would handle the audio. It would. I don't think it would be that difficult. It's a wireless microphone, but it must have a pickup somewhere, probably in the sacristy, because it's being relayed through the both speakers that we have. So there must be some control somewhere. I don't think it would be that difficult, and I certainly don't think it would be that expensive. But, you know, obviously at the point that this happened, it was too late to get somebody in to install something. And this was the problem. Now, there is a church locally who have put out live streams of masses, but he's done it by having people go in. And I'm talking, you know, right back when no one was even going over the doorstep. He had parishioners in there. Okay, you know, probably 5 metres, never mind two, to record these masses. But again, if they'd have put this thing in place, they wouldn't have needed to worry about it. It would have been second nature. Mike and I have said exactly the same. We set up Mac Bites FM last summer and we've put specials out on it over the year. But it pretty much came into its own because it was already there. When we said, you know what, we'll go live for 5 days. That's what we'll do. We didn't have to think, and how are we going to do this? You know, are we going to have to do an audio stream to YouTube? Or, I wonder if we could do a radio station. That's not the time to be thinking about it. We had that in place on Brooklands for 11 months and Mac Bites was June the 1st last year. Oh, we missed our birthday. We were one on June the 1st. Totally forgot that. So at the point, 16th of March it was, you know, we'd had 8, 9 months, 10 months experience with that as well. And it shows we can concentrate on the new things like how we're going to get the music going and how we're going to do this and are we going to record it and is it going to have its own feed. We can concentrate on all of that, whereas we don't have to think about the plumbing. But if you didn't have the plumbing in place, nothing's happening without the plumbing. That then becomes your priority. And then you've got the danger of overwhelm, which was where he was, bless him. Not particularly, loves tech to the point of how it can enable things. And he does use it in that way to enable things, but not from the position of putting things in place in hand. Very much living hand to mouth with it. Which doesn't work in these circumstances, does it? But yeah, I thought that was a bit of an expense as well. When you think, you actually pay more to host audio than video, which is just ridiculous. YouTube, you know, is free. You don't have to put adverts on it if you don't want to, and the video files can be whatever size you like. And if you only want them where certain people can see them, you can do all of that and it costs nothing. But if you want live audio, you start getting into silly prices for it. I think we've had three different hosts over the course of our time. This one wasn't available. Where we are now wasn't available when we started. But I much prefer this one because the back end is sensible and logical. The back end of some of these things is not sensible or logical in the slightest. You moved all our IT systems at work over to the cloud last April. Oh, you were well ahead of your time. And then this year, when we went into lockdown, all you had to do was share a Dropbox folder and divert the phones. Exactly. But, you know, you were probably thinking in terms of anything could happen, which is how I think. But I don't think, until they actually said, you know, you're in lockdown, and not just you should stay at home, but we're in lockdown. I don't think the priest thought that the church doors would shut, because, you know, like, that has never, ever, ever happened. And I don't think that he saw that that would happen. And then it did. I think a lot of the priests were like that. They never saw the day come when the job that they did, they wouldn't be able to do. Or if they did, you know, it would be to an empty church. And that's what they have to do. Have to say mass every day to an empty church. Which must be quite strange, very strange. I mean, sometimes we buried Mum on a Friday morning. And because of that, the normal Friday morning mass that would have been on anyway wasn't the normal Friday morning mass. It was my Mum's Requiem mass. Anybody can go to mass. So it isn't a case of it's a private funeral. It's just somebody's Requiem mass. So obviously all of the family and friends are there. But at the time, we'd not been back long from our jaunt around Europe. And we didn't really have that many friends locally, nor did we have that much family. Mike's got his mum and one brother, and I've got nobody that I speak to. I believe I have an aunt, as far as I know, but she would be 80-odd by now, so I don't know. But mum didn't speak to her, therefore I wasn't inviting her to the funeral. So there was really no family. There was Mike and I, and that was it. And when we went in, he said, well, there'll probably be some parishioners that turn up. And I thought, more the merrier. Because he said, the deacon who was organising the funeral said, do you want the organist? So I said, what do you mean? You want the organist? So he said, well, how many will be there? And I said, definitely Mike and I, and three if you count mum. And he went, don't think we'll be needing the organist then. Three of us in this massive church. But a lot of the neighbours came. They were very kind and supported us. But a couple of the parishioners came who would normally go to 10 o'clock Mass on a Friday. But the thing is, you know, if there wasn't a funeral, how many would have been there? And the answer was probably two. So while it might seem really strange doing it to an empty church, I don't think midweek, particularly in the morning, there's ever that many there anyway. But you still have to go through the rigmarole of opening up the church, and there will be a couple of people there. It is very different speaking with an audience and not speaking with an audience. So I really feel for all people who are working like that these days. Enjoy your dinner, Simon. I noticed we didn't have any baking. Another day, just saying. You do have to think in terms of weird stuff. I wasn't thinking in terms of, you know, everywhere closing down with certain things with me. I think looking back, and I was looking back the other day on like March and April, and it was things like couldn't get a slot for love nor money, couldn't get a slot to deliver anything. And the other thing, the biggest crisis Mike and I had, and, you know, you could live through this, but it would have been better if it hadn't have happened, was very early on, probably the last week in March, his XLR cable broke. This was the third one to go. I don't know what he does with them. An XLR cable runs from a microphone into a mixer. And we'd had a short one, proof of concept. That was fine. We got a longer one, installed it all, and that broke. So we had to take it all out. Then we got another one, and we tried that one. That broke before we actually got it in. I don't know what it is with these cables. So we were in the market for another one. But at that stage, up until we started doing Marooned, we needed it one day a week, which was Friday for after hours. And we had a shorter cable that we took across the floor. The only problem with it was black. And as you know, the carpet's black and I can't see it. So you would trip over it. So I said to Mike, I'm going to order a longer cable so we can actually install it properly. So basically I literally just see this cable disappearing under my desk. It goes out of the mixer and it is just disappearing under the desk and I don't see any more of it. But it needs to go under the desk, around the magic mat by its cupboard, over the door, over the cork board, behind another cupboard, behind a third cupboard, and finally it appears at Mike's desk. So it needed to be 20 metres. 10 would have been a stretch. It needed to be 20 metres to do that. But I was going to order a better quality one. So the actual make was called No Bull. And I went to place an order for it and it was on back order. It was going to take 7 weeks. I'm like, sorry, pardon. I mean, I wouldn't particularly think of keeping in stock a 20 metre cable just in case. But then I wouldn't have expected it to go on 7 week back order either. So what do you do in these circumstances? Because at that point, he needed it every night. So every night we were doing Marooned, we had to get this cable out and cable it up across the floor. You're quite right, Paul. Quite right. He probably was swinging it. like status quo would have been. You're keeping more supplies on hand. We are. It just is like logical. One thing that we did get, and we've not actually touched at the moment, but it's long dated, was we were thinking, what if it gets worse, you know, and you've literally got no food. So what we did was I found on Amazon, there was a place selling industrial amounts of dried potatoes. So you could rehydrate these potatoes with milk and or water. And I thought a couple of bags of that wouldn't go amiss, just in case. Anyway, we got them and we've not actually had any of them yet. That I actually said to Mike, that's in the emergency box. And we had a box. What the heck was that box off? It was a massive box. Could have been a chair or something. Huge, huge box. And I said, that is the emergency box, so put it in there. So what's in the emergency box is things like there's some toilet rolls in there. There's this potatoes. There's food in tins. So things that we don't particularly eat, like baked beans. But we know it will keep. So we bought some tinned peas and tinned carrots, baked beans. I think we even had some sausages and some Chinese stuff. And it's in this box. And that is the emergency box. And what we've said is if there's something in it, you know, that's within a couple of months of going out of date, then we'll eat it. We'll just add it into this week's and replace it. And if it's something that we look at and think, what did we buy that for? Couldn't possibly eat it. Then we'll give it to the food bank. But that's what we did. We got this huge box. So, yeah, we're doing exactly that, Kim. Even things that like tissues, paper tissues, they went really limited. What else? Bottles of water. Let's not go there with the bottles of water. Tracy recommended a filter. So I put it on my wish list and it's gone up from £179 to £460. I think there's been a rush on them. So we're still buying water at the moment. But this is what you've got to do, isn't it? So it's Thursday. That means it's Two Show Friday tomorrow. I wonder how Jonathan's going to be. He's winning at the moment, albeit only just. I think we need a steward's inquiry on the week before last. He actually admitted he nodded off. But at the moment, he's one up. So let's see how that goes. I will be sending out an email later to my VIP list, which will have in it exactly the same stuff as went out to the Matt Bites list the other day, together with some replay stuff when I've actually written it. So if you're on that one, it's on the way. Other than that, we'll be back at 7 o'clock tomorrow and 9 o'clock tomorrow. And there is much excitement about the 9 o'clock one. Devon Think. Yes, at last, Devon Think gets an outing. Together with a couple of other things that you might not think you would have a use for until I show you and entice you into it. And Jonathan, I think, has gone off to talk to the parents. But it would probably thrill Paul to know. Set app is quite expensive, but it's on set app. So there you go. We're looking at that one as well. It's been very busy. I'm in for a win. You never know. Oh, masks are now required where Paul is. Happy for the requirements, sad it's required. Absolutely, absolutely. We've got to wear masks to the shops, but not until the 24th of July. I can't work that one out either. But that's the latest. Having said that, the government have made a bit of a foul up. They've said, like, you do need masks here, but you don't there. And then they've changed their mind and it's all got very, very confusing. But what's new there? Oh, Kim's excited. Jolly good. I hope it lives up to your expectations. But for the moment, while Mike's having his meeting, I will say goodnight from me and goodnight from Mike. We will both see you tomorrow. Stay safe, guys.